This podcast contains descriptions of violence against children and adult language and is not suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised. Hi guys, and welcome to Suffer the Little Children, the true crime podcast giving voices back to the victims of child abuse and shining a harsh spotlight on the parents, guardians, and caretakers who silence them. I'm your host, Lane, and this is Minisode Number 1, Interview with Haley Kelly. A few weeks back, in episode 33, I covered the tragic story of 10-year-old Nakota Kelly, who was allegedly murdered in July of this year by his father, Anthony DeBaya. Nakota told his mother the week before his death that his father was going to kill him, which may or may not have been a figure of speech. Either way, due to a very specific custody agreement, his mom, Haley, had no choice but to send him to his father's Indianapolis apartment for the weekend. Over the next 2 days, Anthony called a relative and a friend, confessing to both that he had killed his son on Saturday night. When police responded to Anthony's apartment on Sunday morning, they found a grisly crime scene in the bathroom, and Anthony, who was on the run, was captured several hours later in Missouri and charged with Nakota's murder. Nakota was failed by both DCS and the family court system. Haley tried for years to get the unsupervised visits with his father to stop, reporting abuse multiple times, but to no avail. Now, thanks to their failure to listen to Haley's well-documented concerns, her son is dead and his body has yet to be found. I had the pleasure of speaking with Haley in October after I released my episode about Nakota, so on this, my first ever minisode, I'm sharing that conversation with you. I have no idea how often I'll be releasing minisodes, only because each full episode takes quite some time to research, write, record, edit, and produce, and I also have sufferthelittlechildrenblog.com where I cover a lot more stories and provide updates on all of them, which also takes a lot of time, but I will be releasing minisodes here and there as time allows. With that, here's my conversation with Nakota's mom, Haley Kelly. Thank you again for talking with me. I know you've probably gone through everything so many times, it's got to be just mind-numbing, but I really do appreciate you talking with me. I've been following the case since July, and my heart just goes out to you. I'm so sorry that this happened. And it just has come to my attention over the last few months how much family court fails families like yours all the time. It's awful.
There was actually a DCS case open a day before. They closed it a day before my son went with his dad.
Was that the one that was just opened in July too?
It was opened. It closed July 16th. The case closed. It was open on Mother's Day weekend.
And did they substantiate that one or not?
They unsubstantiated.
Oh, they unsubstantiated that one?
Yes. Unsubstantiated all the cases. That's saying awesome. That we did not have enough evidence. But I had people tell me that we had enough evidence on mental and emotional abuse. Oh. So it was loopholes around the fact that no one would listen.
Right.
So right. He's trying to find loopholes to get these visits to be supervised.
And how long were you trying to do that ever since the beginning?
At the beginning, we was trying to pretty much get the visits to stop. And then when we learned that we couldn't do that, we was trying to get it supervised just so that my son would feel safe.
Right.
And he would be safe.
Yeah, and it sounds like he didn't feel safe pretty much from the first or second visit.
He got overdosed the first weekend visit. We've been back to court. I told the judge that I didn't feel my son was safe with his dad. His lawyer came back at it as Well, you felt like he was safe before. What changed? And I simply told them that he's coming back and my son's, you know, having behavior issues and he doesn't want to go. Something's not going right. And this was probably back in 2018.
So he would have been, Nakota would have been about 8?
Yes.
Okay. And was he telling you things that were happening too while he was there?
Yes. He's saying that his dad hit him, smacked him, and I would call DCS on him. In 2019, I had stopped visits for a while. From June to October, he did not go to his dad's house at all because I feared for his life. And I expressed that to the judge and everybody. And they told me if I, we went to court and they didn't want to hear the case. They simply wanted us to do a mediation. And my lawyer told me I did not have enough evidence to take it to court. So therefore we was left again with nothing. And my lawyer had informed me that if I keep doing this, then I will lose custody and that judge is known to do it.
That sounds like a pattern with Indiana judges, honestly. I've heard so many of them, and I don't know what it is about that. But they do seem to take custody away from the parent who alleges abuse, even when they're telling the truth.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
And, you know, the mental abuse had led to my son being killed.
Right. My God.
And no one listened. And, you know, it's hard, you know, having someone not listen.
Right. Right. When you know exactly what's going on and you feel like everyone else should.
We had bruises. We had behavior issues. We had the school call DCS twice. And I couldn't come. But the fact that he was an immigrant that was getting all these rights.
Yeah, I had not realized until I started looking into this story that the country could basically turn away their own resident and force the U.S. to keep them. I had no idea that was a thing, but that sounds like that's what happened, is Nigeria said, no, we don't want him back. And so we had no choice but to keep him.
And I would tell everybody that. And my son even asked me, I think it was 2 weeks to a month before he went with his dad that last time. He said, Mom, why did you get my dad back involved? And the thing is, I didn't want him involved. And he didn't either. He hated his dad. And even though that's sad to say, he did not want nothing to do with them.
Yeah, kids are very smart. And they know exactly what's up, especially when he's the one enduring all of that mental abuse.
And he voiced out his fears to everybody, it feels like. And not one person that had the power to listen and to make a difference did anything. The school listened. They reported it. Bowling Center. His skills coach, Alana, she listened. She reported it. But the people that had the final say didn't listen.
Between DCS and the judge, the deck was just stacked against you, it sounds like.
Yeah. And they're the ones to do something about it.
Right, right. Yeah, and it's basically your hands are tied by them, especially... Oh, when I see all those people online saying things like, oh, well, she shouldn't have sent him because he said he didn't want to go. But it's not that simple. No one who hasn't been through it could possibly understand.
I kind of just overlook people that say that because they're not in my shoes.
Right.
They never lost a child. And they do not have to deal with the fact that they cried out for help. Their child cried out for help. And yet the only thing that happened was we got threatened.
Right.
I even recalled that my lawyer stating, do you honestly think that he's going to hurt your child knowing we're going to go to court? And this was October 2019. And I looked at him and I started crying and I said, yeah, I do believe he's going to hurt my kid. I told DCS that do not do anything if you don't think you got a case because the abuse will get worse. Sure. And they didn't listen and they did something. They went over there and they made him mad. He called and mentally abused my kid that same day that they went over there. I reported this to DCS and they still proceeded that they didn't have enough evidence.
And yeah, it can be very intimidating. Even if someone isn't physically intimidating, when they have that personality, they can really cause damage.
Yeah.
It sounds like he had some narcissistic traits and he really knew how to get to you.
Yeah, he did. He knew how to get under my skin.
Right.
And he knew that I loved Nakota more than anything. And I think that's why he did what he did.
Yeah. And it sounded like one of the interviews you did, it sounded like you had, you mentioned letting Nakota go to his final baseball game. And that's what triggered.
Yeah. My son wanted to go to his last baseball game. Well, not his last one, but his second to last one. And he said, I'm never going to work with you again. And he was supposed to go to his last baseball game 2 weeks after his dad did what he did. And he was telling the truth. He was never working with me again. I just didn't think that it was going to lead into something like that.
No. How could you ever imagine?
And he loves his son. I'm never going to take him away. But yet he took his own son away from him. And he was so worried about me doing it, he did it himself. And he took his son away from me and everybody else that loves him.
And it sounds like he was just loved by everyone.
He was. He's the type of kid that he would walk in, you could be mad, and he would make you laugh.
Just that smile, I mean, he was beautiful.
Thanks.
I can imagine that smile would, you know, light up any room he walked into.
Yeah. I could be mad and he would come and say, Mom, you're going to give me a hug. Say, no, I don't want a hug right now. You know, I'm mad. And he goes, Mom, you need a hug. And I would give him a hug and I wouldn't be mad anymore. Like he just knew how to melt my heart. And he had that impression a lot around a lot of people. He was on the bus one time and the bus driver was so aggravated at him. And she said, Nakota, you cannot smack girls' butts. You can't do that. And he looked at his hand. He was only 8 at the time. He looked at his hand. He goes, but I just couldn't help myself. And she just bust out laughing and could not hold, you know, it back because that's the type of kid he was. He would make anybody laugh.
Yeah, he sounds like a character.
He is.
So he played baseball and he also played football and wrestling.
He did not play football. He wanted to play football.
Okay.
I think the words got mixed around in that.
Oh, got it. Okay.
He did play wrestling. He played basketball. I mean, he was the athletic little dude. He could do a foot flip with no hands. He was very athletic, and he loved to dance and sing. We called him my little Michael Jackson rapper, and he had cat that he named Keen, but he would say that's his biracial cat because it was black and white.
Oh, that's so cute. So he was pretty very insightful, it sounds like. He knew a lot of a lot of things.
And someone asked him what he thought about being, you know, if anybody was doing racism towards him and how he felt being, you know, black and white. And he said, I wish people would stop connected me as a Cuddle because I'm no Cuddle. I'm Nakota. And so he was very intelligent.
Yeah, it sounds that way.
But I always told him that he's not one Cuddle. He's biracial. So that's what he called his cat, biracial.
That's so cute.
he didn't see one Cuddle. He seen biracial, and that just meant the best of both worlds. And that's what I told him. That's what I tell both my kids.
How are you and your daughter doing?
Well, hanging in there. Most days is hard, especially the weekends. I think Thursday, Friday, and Sunday are the hardest. Thursday, they close the case. So I think that's why Thursday is hard. I have a lot of anxiety on Thursday. Friday, I used to meet his dad halfway. And that was the last time I seen my son. And Sunday is I didn't get him back. So I think that's why those days are the hardest.
Sure. Yeah, it's got to be very traumatic. And how far is Wabash from Indianapolis?
Hour and a half.
Oh, it is. Okay.
2 hours.
Got it. Okay, so that's why the meeting in the middle. That makes sense.
Yeah. I can't drive on three lanes. I have anxiety. Even before then. I feel like I'm being closed in. So I don't drive on three lanes. So we met halfway.
So we talked a little bit about what kind of person Nakota was, but what kind of things did he love? I know he liked the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. That was a big one.
Yes. He loved Power Rangers. He loved Mario. He loved Fortnite. He loved playing Xbox 360. He loved dancing. His favorite food was veggie pizza.
Wow, really?
Yeah, he loved veggie pizza. He loved to help with anything. He would get on the roof and help my mom clean out her gutters and pull out weeds. And he loved to mow the yard, which, of course, you know, he had to be out. I was out there with him, helping him.
Sure.
But he liked to think he could do it by himself, and he couldn't.
So he doesn't sound like he sat down ever.
No, he didn't. He was literally up at 5 to 6 a.m.
Wow.
And he went to bed at 7 p.m. So we did get a little bit of break. We did get a little bit of break at nighttime.
That's good. That helps. When you have a child who won't stop talking, moving, running around, it's exhausting for you too.
It is. But I miss it.
Yeah.
I guess, you know, everybody don't realize what they have until it's not there.
Sure. Of course.
And what I mean by that is, hang on, I'm going to let this dog out. We got a puppy because I couldn't deal with all the quietness. So we got a puppy and a cat.
Oh, so you definitely don't have any quiet now.
No. it keeps me as busy as Nakota did. So aww. it does keep me on my toes.
I bet. It's probably good to stay busy.
It is because, like, sometimes when it's sleeping, it's like I cannot stop going.
Yeah.
I always want to just keep going.
Yeah, but just keep your mind occupied.
I didn't realize how much I missed the hyperness and the energetic and the, you know, the wildness of my house.
Yeah.
Until, you know, I didn't have it. Yeah, I'm a parent that will sit there and do the slime with them. I'll make slime with them.
And you make all of their birthday cakes yourself. And
yes.
You're a crafty person.
Yes, I love to do crafts. And if I don't know how to do it, I'll figure out how to do it. And it's rewarding, especially seeing the pen pal letters of how they appreciate me making costumes and stuff like that. My daughter, she wrote a pen pal and said, my mom, she makes everything. She can make tutus and she can make costumes and she can make hair bows. And so that was rewarding, you know,
sure.
Knowing she appreciated it.
That's great that she has a pen pal. I didn't know kids still do that. That's awesome.
Yeah, they down here in Wabash, they still write pen pals.
Oh, that's great.
And my son would got to do it this year, start writing pen pals. I think they start in fifth grade. He would have been in fifth grade this year, so he would have got to do a lot of things that he just wasn't able to do.
He seemed to live a very full life, that's for sure. Yeah. He
was very smart, and he got to pick out his first car.
Really?
Yeah. I had got a new car, and I allowed him to pick which one we got.
Oh, wow. What did he pick?
He picked a Chevy Malibu, a 2011 Chevy Malibu. He said, "Mom, I liked how big the back seat was," because he knew that's where he was sitting. And so he didn't care what the front looked like. He just cared what the back looked like.
As long as he can stretch out his legs.
I gave him a choice between that and a Chrysler. It was a littler car. But the mileage was good on either one. So
I bet he felt great about that, too.
He loved it. Oh. And I'm glad I gave him that option. I gave him a lot of choices that most parents don't give their 10-year-olds. And I'm glad I did. And I always taught him that people need to respect him as much as he needed to respect others. Because he's a person. He's not a thing. In my household, I don't do the, you know, I'm the adult, so I have power over you kind of thing. Like some parents do. I give them choices, and if you don't make the good choice, then you got consequences to fall back on them. You know, I have consequences. If I don't pay my bill, then we're going to be kicked out in the street. You know, I have responsibilities just like they have responsibilities.
I'm sure that they understand what a great mom they have. And I'm sure your daughter is very glad she has you to lean on right now.
Yeah, I think so.
It's good that you have each other.
Yeah.
Well, I'm definitely glad we got a chance to talk about Nakota and what kind of a person he was. Just from his pictures, I could tell he was a fun kid and super energetic. I think I saw one picture of him anywhere where he wasn't smiling.
He was always smiling. Even his baby pictures, he was smiling.
You know, I definitely want to keep his memory alive. That's number one, the most important thing. And of course, I'm crossing all of my fingers that there's justice for you guys. What is the trial schedule for November, I think?
November 23rd.
Yeah, so that's a lot quicker than most of them, which is awesome. Hopefully it'll stay on track.
I'm hoping that they find his body. I'm hoping his dad gives something up.
Absolutely. That's so important for you guys. I know it would be.
I'm at the point, I don't care what happens to him. I just want my son to be found. Because my son deserves that.
He deserves to be brought back home.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry this happened. It's just an awful situation altogether, especially knowing everything you did, trying to save him and getting anyone to listen to you.
And yeah.
It's awful that they had to, you know, that this had to happen for anyone to pay attention.
Me too.
I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Haley. She strikes me as a sweet, genuine person and a truly loving mother, and she and her daughter deserve peace, closure, and justice. I truly hope Nakota's remains will be found so Haley can lay her little boy to rest. That's it for today, guys. Join me next Tuesday for episode 38. If you like the show, please leave me a 5-star rating and a positive review on your favorite podcast platform. And please subscribe to Suffer the Little Children on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast listening app. Email tips, comments, questions, or case suggestions to sufferthelittlechildren.pod@gmail.com. You can also subscribe on YouTube by searching Suffer the Little Children Podcast. Visit the website at www.sufferthelittlechildrenpod.com, where you can listen to episodes and become a patron for rewards ranging from a shout-out by name on the show to exclusive gifts. Follow the podcast on Facebook, Instagram, Tumblr, and Pinterest at Suffer the Little Children Pod, and on Twitter at STLCPod. View photos related to today's case on Facebook and Instagram. Read more about today's case and many others at sufferthelittlechildrenblog.com. This podcast was written, hosted, edited, and produced by Lane. Intro theme music is by Dream Note Music. Other music and sound effects for the show were created using sounds from audiojungle.net. Hug your babies a bit closer tonight. Until next week, bye guys.